Welcome to Marvin Methodist Church's Sanctuary Service, brought to you from our beautiful historic sanctuary in downtown Tyler. My name is Doug Baker, and I'm the lead pastor. We appreciate your participation in this morning's broadcast and pray that God's message will speak to you in a beautiful way. Let's join in as the message has already begun.
Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Invite you to pray with me. Lord, as your word now is proclaimed, do a good work among us. Bless these words that are spoken. Anoint them with your Holy Spirit. May they do a good work for us today as we rest in you. In Christ's name, amen. Friends, I've been reading Dane Ortlund's book, The Heart of Jesus, How He Really Feels About You. And it has been transformative for me. It has renewed my faith and it has renewed my ministry. It is reminding me that Jesus is indeed gentle. He is compassionate and humble, accessible, merciful. He is a friend to sinners, and his greatest desire is to be yoked to his believers, those who apprentice their lives after him. Yes, Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the second person of the Trinity. He is the great I Am incarnate. And Ortlund reminds us in his book that we are not to overly domesticate Jesus. He is not just our friend. In the first chapter of the book of Revelation, we find that when John begins to have the revelation, the risen Christ appears before him, and John is on his face, and he is like a dead person. To which Jesus responds, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and I am the last. I am the living one." Revelation 1, 17 through 18. But then just two chapters following, in chapter 3 of Revelation, we find those amazing words, the familiar immortalized words made through a painting, which you'll see in just a moment, of Jesus standing at a door. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them and they with me." Brandy is going to assist me in this picture that we borrowed from the prayer room. You will recognize it because many of you maybe grew up with this. I grew up with this in my home. Thereby our den and our television, a beautiful picture of Jesus standing at the door. There is no door handle on the outside. It must be opened from the inside. He comes humbly. He comes gently. He comes asking that you would come and share a meal with him. He's that kind of friend. Thank you so much, Brandy. God desires a relationship with us through Jesus Christ. We have just celebrated his humble way in which he came into this earth, did we not, with Christmas? We retold the story of this Savior who came and was born in, of all places, a manger where animals are stored. And then from that point on, he eventually would be in Nazareth, where he would be raised by a poor blue-collar family, and he would be raised with the trade of carpentry. And then when the time came for him to begin his ministry, he was baptized, and he went out, and he began as an itinerant preacher for 3 years with no place to lay his head. And when the time was right, he died a criminal's death, was buried in a borrowed tomb, but we know that wasn't the end of the story. He was raised again in glory. He is the Lord who triumphs over sin and death. But I can tell you, he was a humble man. He was an approachable man, and he was a gentle man, and we know that by his birth narrative. I'd like to frame this sermon today with two questions to ask of us of this passage and then a promise at the end. What is the heart of our Savior who invites us? And secondly, who is invited to make response to him? And thirdly, what is the promise that he offers us? So let's begin. What is the heart of the Savior who invites us? It was British preacher and writer Charles Spurgeon, credited with first discovering what was there in the Gospels, the 89 chapters of the Gospels of the New Testament. There is only one place in all of those chapters, in all of those words, where Jesus describes his very own heart for us. We learn much about Christ in the Gospels. We learn his teachings. We're told of his travels, his prayer habits, his miracles, his audience. We're told that he is the one who fulfills the Old Testament prophecies. And even though he was discreet about it, he is the Messiah. And friends, but only one place do we find the words of Christ from his own mouth: I am gentle and I am lowly. I am humble in heart. So when the Son of Man pulls back the veil and tells us who he is, he doesn't describe himself as joyful or generous or full of truth or exalted and majestic or even demanding. Jesus describes his heart as gentle and humble. Well, you know me, I love a good word study, so I'm not going to let this pass by. I looked up the word gentle in the Greek, and it is prowess. It doesn't mean weak. It means strength under control. It means tender, not harsh or reactionary, not easily irritated. It is not a heart ready to accuse, but one that is open to embracing others. One commentator described it as a heart that acts out of patience and precision. What a beautiful description. A heart that works out of patience and is precise in its dialogue, precise in its actions. That is the heart of Jesus. Secondly, we have the word humble. And I remind you that the word humble before Jesus' time, before the New Testament was written, was a word that people did not ascribe to. People didn't desire to have a humble lifestyle. It was something that you would not want to be identified with. And yet now Jesus comes on the scene. He washes disciples' feet. He dies in such a humble way. And so humility became a word of the church that we embrace and lift up as an element that we want to aspire to. This word is tepenos, and it means not to think so highly of oneself as to belittle others. It means to be accessible. It means to be approachable. It means to be compassionate. I have a greater understanding of the heart and the compassion of Jesus after reading a contribution from theologian B.B. Warfield, written in 1912, entitled On the Emotional Life of Our Lord. And in that essay, he proposes that Jesus was fully God and fully human and without sin. And that combination, now did you hear that? He's not half God and half human. But when you add fully human and fully God and you bring no sin into that, there was no limit then to the fullness of compassion that Jesus would feel as he encountered people. Yes, we see Jesus, a perfect man, experiencing compassion, approachability, humility in a very deep way. And we see this in the stories that we'll be exploring. Stop and he talks to a hemorrhaging woman who pulls on his garment and receives healing. We also see Jesus who he deals with precision and tenderness with the woman who is caught in adultery, and the judged accusers are standing there ready to stone her. Precision and patience, gentleness, humility. And then we know of Zacchaeus hiding in a tree, the chief tax collector who he says, "Hey, Zacchaeus, why don't you come down here? I'm having lunch with you today." This is a gentle man. This is a man who is approachable. And friends, A.W. Tozer once said, "What comes into our minds when we think about God, and let's say when we think about Jesus, is the most important thing about you." What comes to your mind when you think of God or Jesus is the most important thing about you. I have found myself, I told you, renewed by this book, renewed in understanding that I need God's grace. I need Jesus's gentleness. I need Jesus's precision. And the best way to do that is to every day ask for it. Get up in the prayer time in the morning and say, God, please walk with me today. I need your grace in my weakness. I need your tempering of my strengths. I need to be reminded that I cannot do this job on my own. I need you today, Lord. I need my Savior's presence. I need your guidance, your peace, and your strength. I open the door that lets you in today. Come fellowship with me. Come and fill me. And Lamentations 3:23, I was reminded this week of a powerful contemporary song. You might recall 3:23 says, his mercies are new every morning. And the artist said, they are new every morning because we so often forget. But we need to be reminded every morning of God's mercy and his grace and his gentleness and his approachability. So who is invited? The second question. All who are weary, all who are burdened. What makes you weary and burdened, my friend? Would it be physical or health challenges, prolonged stress, worry about future events or job performances, past mistakes, national issues, family or relational problems? But would anybody in this room dare to say that religious practice is what makes them weary and burdened? And yet I believe that is what Jesus is speaking to here. He is talking to people who felt weary and burdened by the over 500. I was corrected this morning. I was told there was 613 laws in Jesus' day that people tried to follow as they tried to follow Jesus. William Barclay, in a commentary, talks about a parable told by rabbis that often circled among them. And this was what it was, about a widow who had two daughters who had a field, and she wanted to grow crops to make a living, to feed her family. And she was reminded by the laws that when you plowed the field, you could not have two different kinds of animals. You can't mix an oxen and a donkey. It's in the law. And she was reminded also that you can't mix your seeds. You must keep them separated. And then she was reminded that there is outside of your field, you must have room for gleaners, the poor, to come and to harvest. So you cannot harvest all of your field. You see the law. So she was so frustrated. She sold her field and got a lamb. And she got two lambs, and the lambs had another lamb. And then she was reminded that the first lamb being born of her flock would have to be offered as a first sacrifice to the temple. And then she began to harvest the wool from these sheep, and then soon learned that she had to tie that. You see how the laws begin to become burdensome and weary for those who are just trying to make a life. Friends, this is a parable that was told, and religious laws are good. Teachings are good. Old Testament is good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not an antinomianist. I do not believe that we are free in Christ and no laws, and we should just do whatever we want, because that will certainly get you in a lot of trouble. And we said from Jeremiah this morning in our call to worship, there are ancient pathways, ancient practices that we can walk in and find life in. Religion can be good, but when it becomes legalistic, when it becomes demanding, when it becomes so much so that we lose the point of it, then we are in trouble. That is why Jesus said in Matthew 22, 37 through 40, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor also as yourself. And then would say unto that, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. This is what God has called us to. But friends, let me say this. The most important point, this point three, is this. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for you will find rest for your souls. Our third point this morning is we are not yoked to the law or rules. We are to be yoked to Jesus Christ, our gentle and humble Savior. in the Old Testament and the old ways of the Old Covenant and Moses, people talked about being yoked to the law. But when Jesus comes to bring a new commandment, when Jesus comes to bring a new covenant, we are now yoked to Jesus Christ. Are y'all familiar with what a yoke looks like? Well, I asked Brandy to do me a favor. I said, go over to Cracker Barrel, see if you could get the yoke off of the walls and bring that for a sermon illustration. I mean, you're already going to have a picture here, then you could hold up this big yoke. I didn't really do that to her. But friends, a yoke has a large beam across here and two U-shaped beams underneath, actually this way, that attach. And the heads of two oxen most likely would go into that. And there they would pull together by their force, shoulder to shoulder, that which they were probably pulling, a plowshare through a field. That was the yoke that the oxen were connected to. In the Old Testament, the yoke was the law. But Jesus says again, take my yoke upon you. He's saying, be yoked to me. Now, Jesus, as a carpenter, would have known this by trade. Friends, there is not a one-size-fits-all yoke out there, because what a carpenter would do, he would come, he would measure your oxen, he would get the breadth of their shoulders, the height that they were, and he would carve out that wood in such a way. You've seen these yokes. They are not straight wood. They are carved for a purpose. They were designed to fit the oxen that would be pulling or being held by that yoke. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. And he says, my yoke is easy. Again, the Greek word for easy, Christos, means well fitted. Now, hear this. Your relationship with Jesus Christ is to be well fitted. When you ask Christ to be your Lord and Savior, your sins, your heartaches, your brokenness is not the same as mine. Your life has its own story, its own need for salvation. And Jesus so beautifully comes into your life and well fits a yoke of relationship with you beyond, because of the needs that you have. And thanks be to God, does he not only bring the presence and the healing and the salvation that you need in your life for your brokenness, but he also brings the gift of the Holy Spirit, who gifts you with passions and giftedness of leadership or teaching or service, whatever it might be, so that you might actively contribute and make a difference in this world. It is a well-fitted salvation that Jesus brings, and he is yoked with you in this life as he comes and takes residence in your heart, and by the Holy Spirit, you become active doing a good work for him. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Salvation, friends, is personal. Carved out just for you. Are you yoked to Jesus Christ? Are you yoked to the Holy Spirit and to the gifts and the passions that God has brought to you to make a difference in this world? There is so different than a one-size-fit-all yoke that is yoked to a list of rules. Do you hear me, church? You are called to be in relationship with Jesus. That has been my experience. And more recently, as I have been working on every morning, asking God to come and smooth out the rough places, go before me into the ministry callings and all the demands, and bring his grace and bring his salvation, his mercy has become new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. He is a gentle and humble Savior who invites us into relationship with him. Do you know this Jesus? Do you love this Jesus? Because he knows and loves you. And as St. Augustine said, you will not find rest until you find your rest in him. Thanks be to God. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the gentle and humble Savior. Amen.
Thank you for watching our broadcast this morning. I'd also like to personally invite you to join us for Sunday morning services here at Marvin Church. Our church is located at 300 West Irwin Street, one block west of the town square. Please visit our website to learn more about our church or text NEW, N-E-W, to 90382 to receive a personal response from our church. If you'd like to make a financial contribution to the church, please go to marvin.church/give or send a gift to the church at 300 West Irwin Street, Tyler, Texas, 75702. Thanks again for joining us, and have a blessed week.